Hello and welcome to the second Manx Footy Pod of the 2018-19 season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi everyone.
Are joined by St Mary's pair, Alex Harrison and Frank Jones. Right, lads, welcome to Podcast Towers. Thanks for coming in. You're both returning favourites. I've said that already about Sean last week, but these guys are returning favourites, aren't
Definitely,
they?
Definitely, yeah.
Welcome back. We obviously didn't put you off at all last time then, lads.
It's good, isn't it? It's good to come in. Who doesn't want to come in and talk a bit about football and what's going on?
You're just here for the biscuits. We know this already. You've just already tried to have one. So, yeah, we've always got time for a biscuit review, haven't we, Dave? You know, we've got a lot to discuss today, but let's get cracking with the biscuits, because I can see Frank is actually, you know, he's almost halfway over the table here. I've got Oreos today. Frank, what are your thoughts on an Oreo?
Great.
They're not quite as controversial as
Do you know what I love at the minute though? The new Oreo chocolate bars. Oh. Have you seen them? Like the biscuit ones as well.
I didn't have them in the coffee. I had one the other day. I had, you know, the dairy milk with the Oreo bits in?
Oh yeah.
But they do a peanut one now, and it just tasted a bit odd. No. Like it'd been in the sun a bit long.
So the new one with the Oreo like kind of biscuit on top as well.
Is that what you're saying? So did you hear last week's podcast? We were talking about the Twix debate. Now, where do you guys stand on that? Is it a biscuit or a chocolate bar?
Chocolate bar.
You going with that? The single one?
No, I think the single one is a biscuit and the one that comes as a double is a chocolate bar.
I think that's where we sort of what we decided, wasn't it? Apart from you came up with this.
Chocolate biscuit bar, rubbish.
Yeah. You've obviously been having a few pints before we recorded last week.
Usually do.
Right, I suppose we should start with a bit of reaction to last night's 3-2 win over Corinthians. Alex, we'll start with you. You're the manager at the moment. Great win, you must say. You know, taking on one of your title rivals in there and beating them at their own ground.
Yeah, it was a bit of a game of chess, really. I don't think we particularly played very well. I don't think they particularly played very well either. I thought it comes down to who made the least mistakes would win the game, and fortunately for us, we won the game. So yeah, I don't think you can't look at it too much. You can't look too much into it because we've got a new team and we're trying to put across a new system of way we're playing and stuff. So yeah, I just think it was great to get the 3 points and back to the drawing board for Saturday.
It was a massive confidence boost, shot in the arm, as they say, early in the season though, isn't it? To take 3 points off one of your, as we've said, going to be one of your rivals. It must be a great boost for the squad.
Yeah, we've played them twice in pre-season. And we've had, you know, two really good performances, and out of the three, yesterday was probably the worst performance, but we got the win. In the other two games, we won and lost. So, yeah, it's a great confidence booster for the boys.
And as you say, it was a bit of a scrappy game, but you were missing a few at the back, weren't you? I know Josh Thomas was pushed into a full-back role, which he probably wasn't really familiar with.
Yeah, we had four players missing yesterday. Obviously myself, Jordan Cooper, James Murphy and Jamie Devine. So, you know, they've all played in the previous two games, so big losses, yeah.
Well, Frank, obviously you were in the thick of the action. You got a goal about on the stroke of half time, a trademark header, KL-esque, as we'd say. How was it like to play in? Was it, a high intensity game?
Yeah, it was good, and it's always a thing when the two big teams come against each other. It's trying to stop mistakes and things like that. I think we made a few mistakes that cost us goals, and Kirill was great, wasn't he, off the penalty save that kind of kept us right in it at 1-1. But to score right on half time, it's real good to go in, and we got in and we regrouped and we knew what we were going to do then, and Al told us and Paddy and Cromie give us kind of the right direction. And I think yesterday, like, the subs were used, I said this, like, and we've talked about it a lot, like the subs were used at the right times, and Al's got quite a big squad this year, when everyone's fit, of like maybe having, I don't know, 16, 17 players. And we keep saying to people, it's going to come a time in the year where you're going to be called upon. And I think yesterday, the three subs, like he took Bri off, Hudgie off and Craig off, and they ran themselves into the ground. And then the three subs come on, and if they've done 20 minutes, 20 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, they ran themselves into the ground. And I can't speak highly enough of their kind of thing towards the win for us, because without them, us 11 of players, we wouldn't have hung on, because it was that kind of game where it was a high intensity, and it was struggling at the end, to be fair, fitness wise.
Did you think it's even sweeter that you had to come from behind to win? You know, a lot of teams, if they go 1-0 down to Corinthians, they're going to, you know, possibly fear the worst, and it was quite early on, wasn't it? But you came back and...
I think it's something that we need to kind of work, we've been looking at working on. You know, we kind of, we're usually leading and then we go behind and lose. You know, that's been the St Mary's way for the last two, three seasons. So, yeah, I think definitely, you know, coming from behind, it's definitely shown us a bit of character there. And we keep going on about game management and riding the waves, as we call them. But we definitely, yesterday, we rid the waves and we got through there. So
set yourself up nicely now for the rest of the season.
Is it? Can we talk about a title tilt? You know, obviously you brought a lot of players in over the summer. I tipped you. I think I was the only one that I thought, you know, you've put a good squad together there. Can we talk about title? Are you talking about it in the changing room?
Just taking each game as it comes, really. But you look at some of the players you brought in. We brought in proven winners, as in Jack and Frank. So they're proven winners. Then we've added, you know, lads from other clubs, like Hudgie, the Cummins brothers. So yeah, we've got, you know, a top quality squad. So, you know, it's potential. It can happen. You never know, do you? You just got to keep taking each game as it comes.
And Frank, does pressure come with that? Now, obviously, are you more of a marked target as a club now than you perhaps would have been a couple of seasons ago?
Yeah, I don't know. It's good, and we've got the. I think we've got a good enough squad to kind of push, but you've got to give us time. As in, and I said this to Alex. This year is about kind of getting everyone together, and because, like he says, we've brought in that many players. Trying to get everyone to play well, I don't know how quick it's going to happen. And obviously yesterday, Corinthians are the top team there. They're going to be there and thereabout. They won two trophies last year. And we've played St. George's. We know how good they are. So to get results against both of them, I think that we can challenge. But I think it's just far too early at the minute to start saying that we're going to be here or there. Because the main reason being just having so many new players. And it'll... A few people are like, they're young, you know what I mean? They think, but going back to what you said before, yesterday coming from behind, massive for us all. Just to show like the younger lads that we can do it and we can compete with Corinthians, and it's getting that kind of mental edge for our team. The likes of myself and Jack that have beat them before and things like that, I think it's great for the likes of maybe Sammy Gellin and the younger lads in the team, and even maybe Hudgie at Old Boys as he beat them, and you know, and Josh and Craig that come from the Cummins brothers. It's just good to be a big side, isn't it? But I think we've got to go on and do it more regularly, you know, and see how we go in the season before we start saying, oh, we're in with the hunt for the title.
I know every game is a big game, but do you think it's been good in a way that you've had this start to the season that you've had? You know, you've got Russian this Saturday, you've got three massive games in your first four. Is that a good thing? Is it straight in at the deep end?
When I looked at the fixtures and Frank and Jack signed, I wasn't really happy about playing Jordan's first game of the season. But you know, we're through it now. You know, we got a point and arguably should have won the game. You know, when we beat Laxey, kind of scraped it in the end, but we got there, and then we just beat Corinthians and Russian on Saturday. So if we can get, you know, 3 points on Saturday, it's an absolute flyer to start, and I think it's kind of exceeded expectations.
We talk about, you know, you've mentioned it already, Frank, you were one of a number to come in. What made you want to rejoin St Mary's this summer? You know, why was this the time to leave Geordie's after an unbelievable amount of trophies and success?
There's an organisation behind, isn't there, Al?
Yeah.
Should we say it? You go by the name of Loose Women. They've had a lot to say in it, but we won't name who's in it.
Right.
But no, that's just a bit of a laugh between all the lads what we do. But I don't know, it's great, and St George's was fantastic for me, you know, like all the players all the lads I get on well with them all, Bassi, Dicko, everyone. But I just found in the summer, I don't know, I do you know when I just got kind of a thing, it was time to maybe move on basically, and I honestly don't know. And a lot of people said to me, and it made me think, oh, well, is that what people are thinking? A lot of people said to me, because I've had a kid and all, like, am I taking kind of my foot off the gas and kind of thing? But I've gone the other way, I think. That's how I've wanted to go and kind of go back and help St Mary's and try and prove myself again and maybe win something with St Mary's would be fantastic. And it's hard to say, and people might think, oh, yeah, he's fleeing, but I think... This year, if we would have stayed at St George's, say, for example, and we won the Grand Slam, it's getting to a bit like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, like, and I think if we won one trophy with St Mary's this year, like, for the whole club, you know, everyone that's involved in that club, they just, like, want that. And I think if we can do that, it'd be unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I always say it, and I say it, we went to the end of season do this year, and it's happened before. We had the league there and the Hospital Cup, and it it's like we've underachieved.
Right.
Do you know? Yeah. And it's horrible. Like I don't think you can, because when we're at St. George's, we set our stand that high, and we think we should. And I don't think until now. I think this year is going to be really competitive, and there's going to be a lot of teams knocking around. And I was saying before, I think all four trophies could go to a different club. Mm-hmm. I think it's that close. And until that kind of starts to happen for a couple of years, you won't realise how actual good Geordies were and what they'd done and how committed they were. And we were talking about being tied in the summer and like things like that. But it's happened before where we've rolled through like Ireland games and MIFA trips and still went on and won the Grand Slam the year after and won all these trophies, and how dedicated the players have been, the managers have been, and St. George's have been. But going back to the question, I just thought it was, I don't know, I just got, it was just my time to kind of move on, I thought, and just try and, I've only got a couple of years left, and I don't think, maybe in 3 years' time, Alex wouldn't want me. So I thought, I've only got a couple of years to maybe go and...
Go and always waiting for the vets team.
Go and try and win something down there, yeah.
So it's not me poaching, by the way.
Well, you said that you had a bit of flack for people who were saying you're poaching, but you know, this is your time to address this. Is it just come together organically?
It kind of has, yeah. It's just come together. You've got a lot of existing...
Swimming, isn't it? I told you.
A lot of ex-players coming back. Craig, Murphy, Frank, Josh Thomas. Mm. Hudgie's played for St Mary's before. Yeah. So they've obviously come back... The Cummins brothers, to be honest, I did ask them, did they fancy coming down there? They're two lads I did ask, because I thought they would be great additions for the squad, which they have been. So, yeah, but I haven't been on, you know, coaching as I've been accused. You know, we've actually had it the other way around, where, you know, Chris Bass Jr.'s texted one of my players, telling them he's not going to be in my starting lineup this season, so he should go to Geordie. So, that, in my opinion, that's poaching. So, nice one for that, Chris.
Is it, you're not saying it's Ant's famous sausage babs, then? Are they not doing the trick?
I still haven't had one of these sausage babs.
Oh, it's Scotch eggs, a top draw.
He had a load of pasta in the change rooms last night, to be fair. There was loads of stuff going on in there, and I thought, bloody hell.
I saw that lovely picture you put on Facebook the other day of him washing the kit and his looking out over the lovely the playing fields of Grove Road.
That's a St Mary's clubhouse, that, now, I thought. It's absolutely.
Well, I think what you go back to, though, is the players coming back to the club. You look at the likes of Anthony Dooley and stuff and the amount of dedication and what they do for that club on a limited budget is, you know, it's massive. You have some clubs that have all the money in the world, but every penny that we generate, we... goes towards kits, although sometimes they're not the best kits. You know, his tracksuits, everything goes towards the players.
I was actually thinking about leaving again when I...
handing your phone back in.
But yeah, that's going back to what I said, like to win something for the likes of Anthony and Jared and that have been there for years and they've seen, like, kind of... I think they were there when they were real good in the 90s and things like that. They were knocking around the club, but they've gone right through the whole mill. So now I think, like, they're made up, they're like any of the players, you know, like they were so made up last night with that result and things like that. To see people that happy that we're doing well, that means a lot, you know what I mean, to the players. And I think a lot of the players take that that's who we've got a winner for.
Yeah. And Spurs you on even more.
Yeah, you look at like team, like club objectives, and you know, my personal objective prior to getting all these players was to get the clubs stable again and, you know, attractive. Like the likes of Corinthians, I mean, you look at Corinthians. Clubhouse, great stand. Mm. Pitch is absolutely top draw, by the way. Top draw. Oh, great, so they deserve a lot of credit for that. So that's my kind of, you know, objective is to get us on that sort of playing field where everyone looks at St Mary's and thinks, oh, great club.
Well, you are looking a lot more professional, has to be said, this season. Is that something, is it been an easy transition of players bought into that straight away, or has it been something you can hang on? I just want to pay my subs and play football every Saturday. I'm not really bothered about, you know, going to see Sharif or whatever, you know, or people actually bought into it.
It comes from, like, the likes of Al wanting it to be like that, you know, like he's the top fella there, so he's obviously brought Paddy and Cromie in, and people, there's a load of people that are dedicated to helping out, and they're only, like, the three staff. There's loads of people behind the scenes that you can see, like, all the Dooleys and, like, Vinny, Sharif, there's Robin Crowell and Jim Cooper. There's loads of people that help out, and even I said that when I first went training, I went down there, and there was, like the committee were kind of down there helping out, wanting to be involved, and... I think if Al wants anything, it's just isn't it? It's like
last year. I mean, we struggled with numbers, and at times we had more committee members there than players. So it's like, Crowley, get your boots on.
Well, let's talk about that then, because you've obviously took up the managerial reins halfway through last season, and it did spark a massive upturn in form. And I remember talking to you after one game. I can't remember who it was now. It was maybe one of the cup games, and you said, "Right now, we're just going to concentrate on the cup. Now we've got a good chance now. I think we're maybe getting good cup run together." Has it been an easy to become gone from player to manager or player manager as you are? Or has it been harder than you thought it was going to be?
It was easier last year.
Yeah.
Because there's obviously limited expectation. And, you know, it was just kind of easier. This year is a lot more pressure, a little bit more pressure. You know, you do feel it at times in terms of team selections. A lot of the players is trying to get that them to adapt to the new way in terms of last year they didn't have to train and they could start. Now they've got to train to get in the team. Mm-hmm. They've got to play well to get in the team. And, you know, that having those conversations, you know, like in terms of dropping players because they're not doing what we need them to do, that's obviously difficult. And I've only had to do it a couple of times, and I'm still trying to learn, and that's why I go to the likes of Paddy, even Dicko, and ask them for advice on how to address certain situations to kind of keep getting the player to buy into what we're trying to do. So that side of it's really difficult at times. Team selections as well, you know, before the Geordie's game, I went with the team selection, and the other members of the staff didn't necessarily agree with it. And, you know, it kind of backfired on me in the first half, you know, some of the personnel in different positions. So, and having to cope with that after it is, you know, it's quite frustrating and difficult, but it's, you know, it's all a part of learning and it makes you a better person and a better manager, I suppose, and it makes your decisions better next time and you don't make the same mistakes. Yeah, so, but it's, no, it is, it's been quite difficult, but difficult in a good way.
Yeah.
And I'm learning so much. And
you still enjoying it?
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And
Frank, what's the, like, sort of, for want of a better phrase, taking orders from you, one of your mates? You know,
yeah, it's all right, I think. Yeah, he's quite open about it all, as in he'll come and talk to you, and I think that's what's real good about it. Like, I think yesterday you had a few decisions late on, didn't you?
Yeah.
To make with the game, and I think he spoke to myself, but then he spoke to the players involved, and I think, as a player myself, and he knows it himself because he's a player, as long as you know what's happening and you know there's a reason for it, you can't argue. You know, if the manager does something off the cuff and you think, well, why have you done that? And there's nothing coming back, you can get frustrated and and fall out, basically. Yeah. But I think Al's quite open with things like that. And I think if anyone from the club, if they've got a problem when they're not playing or they're playing in a certain position, if they went and spoke to him, he'd be quite open about it, which is... Which is obviously good, and it's a good stand, but...
Does he ever go for the hairdryer treatments or anyone?
I struggle, like, when I'm angry, I struggle to get my words out, so I get really frustrated, but no, I don't think I've necessarily
Going back to, obviously, the summer with, and I want to say it before, when you talked about, like, you know, when he was going about potion play, people were saying to me, oh, you're going to go back to St Mary's, and I was thinking about it and all this, and it was quite funny, because obviously I talked to Jack, me and Jack got on really well, but obviously me and Jack as well are real good friends of Al, but I didn't hear anything from him. I was thinking, I haven't even spoke to him. I was like, and it was a bit like, kind of, because we're friends, I was just a bit like, this is a bit strange. Yeah. I was speaking to Jack, and me and Jack were basically like here saying, we're going. And I was like, Al hasn't even said anything here, Jack.
Playing my games.
I was like, but then people saying, oh, Al's been on the phone because they're mates and all that, and everything. And I was thinking, and I can tell you now, he didn't. And I was thinking, and we had a laugh, me and Jack. I was like, he might not want us.
So I was going to say, Alex, is it going to have an effect on your playing game though? Are you going to worry about that, or is it just going to be one of those things? Because I've said it time and time again, I thought you and Carl had a real good understanding at the back for St Mary's last year, and you're one of the best centre back partnerships in the league, and I think Dave would agree with me.
Totally.
And so taking yourself out with the team in a way might be, you know, detrimental.
Well, I got injured actually in the first game, so I tore my hamstring, but it worked out perfectly in a way, because you can kind of sit out and watch it from a different perspective, and you kind of address the issues, you know, keeping players wide, for instance, or you know, getting certain players through different things. So when you're playing, it's hard to kind of do that, and I found it really frustrating against Geordie's because we weren't doing what we kind of wanted to do. So I think it come at a good time. You know, before it happened, you think, oh, if you get injured today, it's going to be a bad time to get injured. But after it, when you sit back and, you know, analyse it, it come at a good time. So now I'm just kind of, you know, I think we're kind of getting there slowly but surely. So hopefully when I'm back playing, if I can get back in the team, it'll be in a good stance and we can kind of move forward from there.
And you'll already be under the style and play what
I see what you're saying. Just trying to implement it. It's a little bit difficult, especially when you're playing, because against Geordie's for that first game, I wasn't playing well at all. I couldn't, because I was too busy trying to tell other players what to do, you know, when I couldn't even, I wasn't concentrating on my own game.
Fair enough. Right, so time for Twitter questions, Dave.
Your favourite, yes.
Yeah.
The first question is actually, was it a late one for last week's?
Yeah, you said it again.
Oh, good lad.
Yeah.
So Tim Colster wants to know who you think is going to win Division 2.
Frank?
I know they got beat last night, but I'm going to say Ramsey.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, actually. I'm sticking with... I spoke a lot to Andy Perry.
Yeah.
Obviously, I get on well with Andy, and he's obviously gone back there. He's saying that they've got a good side and a good setup, and they're like a young bunch of lads. And I remember playing against them, obviously, last year, and I thought to myself, they've got a bit about them, you know? Like, so them probably going down would probably be a good thing for them to go maybe get another year under the belt.
Yeah.
Did they win the first two games?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they got beat by Youth Centre last night, didn't they?
Yeah.
Which was a bit of a thing.
Derby game, though. Form goes out the window.
Definitely. And the combi game before, there was like 17 seconds, a couple of red cards and all, so they're probably just on their best behaviour. But yeah, if I had to say someone, I'd go out on a win and say Ramsey.
Going back to what Frank said, therefore, when we played Ramsey last year, they were excellent as well. I actually couldn't believe they went down. I thought there was worse teams in the league than Ramsey, definitely. I think their kids are very, very good, and they've got a bit about them. You know, they're quite verbally... I think there's Pickles, it's good, his name is, but he's an excellent player, and he can wind anyone up. So, no, they've got a bit about them. But I'd say I've got to go with Paul Rose. I know they've lost Jamie Skill, and he's come to us. He's been absolutely phenomenal, but they haven't mentioned his name yet. But I think with like Sestito going there, I hope and I think Paul Rose will win the league.
Well, it seems to be Mark that's grabbing the goals.
Yeah,
he sort of Steedo is almost universally tipped to win the Silver Boot. And he's only got one of the.
I think he's injured at the minute.
Is he? Well, there you go.
What's it been like at St Mary's without the pre-stalls?
Without the goat?
Yeah, they've been the mainstay for many years.
It's a little bit. It was strange to start with, but I think now we've kind of just got used to Steedo not really being there. You know.
So do you fancy pulling the cup?
I wouldn't like that. I don't know if we played them. I think it could get a bit tasty.
Down at Groves Road, or Springfield Road, sorry. Yeah. It was corrected by the corporation. Yeah. But that would be an awesome cup tie, that would. I think we'd have to try and live stream that.
Definitely.
No audio, though. Joey Andrews sent another question. So he tweeted last week, so when we said we didn't know who he was playing, he said he initially took up archery, but I found out that was just in jest, because I may have said he's some sort of modern-day Robin Hood. But he's actually said he's going to try and play golf badly at the moment. So
he has got itchy feet, apparently.
Has he?
Yeah, so I've just said that
there's always... He used to play for St Mary's, didn't he?
He did.
Stop poaching players.
That one is actually on. But he says,
give us a call, Joe.
For you, Al, he says, would you rather have Vinny's tash, obviously Vinny Dale, or Liam's hairline?
Definitely the tash.
And it's not Vinny Dale anymore. Have you heard he's changed his name?
No.
It's Vinny Abramovich. Because he's brought that many players into St Mary's this year, flashing his money around. I got actually my house painted and a free tank of oil. Just so you know. So that's the main reason I went.
I
set 40 boots.
That doesn't crack it. Right, so Liam, obviously Liam's hairline is actually featured quite a lot. I don't know if you guys saw last night, Daniel Swan put a Twitter vote thing up, and it was who's the worst hairline, and it was him, Darren Smethurst, Mikey Hutton, I think, and who was the fourth one?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was Liam and...
Swanny
was in there. Was he Swanny himself? Yeah. So I saw Darren was convincingly winning at the moment. Was it?
Smeddy has got a bad hairline, but when he headers the ball, it's such a beautiful sound. But no, I'd say Swanny's definitely the worst. It's shocking. How's he still holding on to that?
And that's the problem, I think. I think that the rest of them have actually like just accepted. Yeah. I think Swanny is like literally holding on.
But he actually shaved his hair off.
And there might not be a job for him at the combi manager now, as Ad Fix took over.
Yeah. Right.
Swanee's been away. Ad's got the result against Corinthians. Yeah. He gets a result against Russian on.
Oh, pressure's on, isn't it?
Good man, could be going back in.
But Joey also has a question for you, Frank. He says, have you woke up for the Benidorm trip yet? Loads of bed and you boy.
I don't think we should go into that.
I did think that was a pretty loaded question.
That was a...
That was a stag, wasn't it? Was that a stag?
Liam Stag, he was the best man. Let's stay in bed for 3 days because I went too big the first night. That's the gist of it.
But you said you were feeling it today after a tough game last night. It's the same with the drinking.
Yeah. One and out, I think.
Were there any like initiations or anything when you came back to the club? Did Al have you doing any dirty points or anything like that? Or?
No, but that's a great, brilliant idea. We have got a race night in a few weeks, so might have to be...
To be honest, Frank, Dave's still not forgiving you for losing his coat. Remember the famous leather jacket? You know, we're steep hopeful in one day that we'll return in the post.
Yeah, we return for the NLS next, final.
There you go.
We get there again.
All right. Next question then. Right, one in from Adrian Rashid. Albo, will you be giving Super Frank the same super treatment Sir Chris Bass Senior gave him?
Super treatment? What, like, what do you mean by that?
I think I had a few more supers before my name than that, one.
Oh, he's only got a certain limited amount of characters on there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there was three supers before me.
Yeah, I think you lost two of them when you went back to Super.
Oh, right, okay.
No, I know Bassi Senior did drop them in Mifa in Cyprus, so I don't think I'll be giving them the same treatment as
Actually quite a sensible question from Rashid, isn't it? Also, how far away from a title winning side are you, or are you already there? And we've already talked about it. You're saying it'd take 1 minute goal.
I think we have the squad to win the league.
That's fair. Yeah, I think that's a fair comment.
I think the only thing that might let us down is the kind of not having the people. We've got the squad, we've got the players. It's getting that consistency right through the year, because we've done it before. I've been there, and Jack's been there and done it before, and you know, like, it. And I'll know this straight away, there's no point beating Corinthians last night and working so hard to go and get beat by Russian on Saturday. So if we get out of that game, then we'll have like a few games where we need to keep winning, you know what I mean? And you think, you'd say this against the smaller opposition, we've got to be more ruthless. Like against Laxey, we were cruising 4-0. Laxey are a good side, and honestly, I seen the result last night against Dafka, and I was so surprised, because they were good. They were organised. They never really threatened us, but they just worked hard and they were organised. And but we fell apart, and it could have easily been 4-4. And that's what kind of scares me, knowing, like, St George's, go back to them again. That would have been against Laxey, mate, 6-7, 8-0, you know. And that's where we've got to learn, and that's where I think this year is a big learning curve for us. And I could probably sit here this time next year and say we're ready now.
Yeah,
but there's nothing saying that the way it's looking.
It's that we talked about it briefly with Corinthians last week, didn't we? Saying that they've obviously got more big game experience now. And I remember watching Corinthians the first few times they played Geordies or whoever in a cup semi final, and they looked nervous. I remember they played St Mary's in the Railway Cup semis a couple of seasons ago. They got in, loaded good form, and then just fell to pieces in that type of game. No disrespect to St Mary's, but and it's that sort of experience that you only get from getting those big games. So as I can see what you're saying, but wishing to keep harping on about last week, but we did mention that I think this season it could be the first time a team in a long time loses four or five games and still wins the title.
Yeah,
and I think it's not after that first loss going, you know, that's it then, game over. You've just got to bounce back from it and keep going again.
Got to ride the waves.
It was like if you're looking at Corinthians and Peel between like Saturday and Wednesday, they've lost 5 points. If that was last year, St George would be sat there thinking the league's ours.
Yeah.
And you're 3 games in, you know what I mean? But I think this year, like you say, I think you could lose 4 games and still be right there.
I think the Railway Cup qualification is going to go right to the wire this year.
Don't be so athletic to get in.
Flying, aren't they? We'll talk about them.
I've talked to Craig Purvis and Work He Works with us, and he's walking around work, and I keep shouting the special one to him.
He keeps emailing me that as well.
Right, special one. Did you see the picture?
I saw the picture last night. It was a lovely Photoshop job of Alex.
Even the St Mary's player.
Oh yeah. Right, yeah, that's how I'm getting all the. I won't be after this one.
Right, next question is from Andy Glover. Can you ask Frank and Al who the best ref on the island is now?
Well, that's a completely loaded question.
It is. He also says if it's not me, then there's a chance I'll red card them both next time I ref them.
I do. Andy Glover is a good ref.
He's done. Did your friendly last week?
He's done a couple of friendlies for us. He's done both Corinthians games, didn't he?
He is definitely a really good referee.
I think it just comes to the point that he's played the game.
Yeah. And how is he keeping?
Does get into it. He has to, like, he'll explain why he's giving a decision if someone questions him, which sometimes isn't a rare. It's a good thing. Yeah.
But is he alright keeping his lid on it?
He hasn't whipped out a few yellow cards, but no, I think he's. I think he's definitely. It's good. It's good. Honestly, really good.
Yeah, I think he is. He is good. I've said to a few people, and people will always have different opinions, and I've said to a few people, I thought he was very good, and someone says, no, he loses his head, he started shouting at our player, and whatever, but I haven't seen it, and the 2 games that he's done us, he has been good, and he talks to you, and like, and that's what you want, like, you know, sometimes, like, if a decision's made, and the ref's made it, it's when they ignore you, and to be fair, we're bad, like, player-wise, shouting and shouting when you're getting things, but, like, if they tell you why, there's not much you can say. Yeah. That's it, isn't it? If he's seen that as a, and it's not a penalty, or it is a penalty, or it's a free kick, or whatever, as long as they explain it, I think it's fine. You can kind of not have an argument. You know, it's their opinion.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And I know we've probably asked you both this when you've been in the past, but do you fancy reffing when you call time in your career?
So it does cross my mind, but absolutely no chance. I couldn't do it.
No chance. No chance.
But going back to the best referee, I don't think we answered that question.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Judging off our first two games, not any of them two. I thought James did okay last night. But
think of my best ref.
Who's that?
Lodgy.
Yeah, Lodgy's brilliant. Yeah. Lodgy's brilliant.
Because he's been there and played it all, and he lets things go, and the reactions of players he works off, I think, a lot that he speaks to you.
Do you think players struggle the fact that to relate that all referees are different? As in, you know, it's like saying to you, Frank, you're a midfielder. Yeah. Every midfielder should play like Frank Jones.
It's
the same with the referees. They all differ because of their different personalities, different experience. And that's what players struggle with, because the consistency might be not quite there. You know,
what I struggle with the most, I think, is the consistency off the referee on the day.
Right.
As in,
that's
what I real struggle with. That you'll give a foul for something, and you think that wasn't a foul, but he's give it. Mm. But then it'll happen again 10 minutes later, and he doesn't give the foul. And it's the same kind of incident. Mm. And you think, well, I don't think that was a foul. But if you think that's a foul, and you think that's a foul, give them both as fouls. Mm. And that's where I struggle, as in, like, the inconsistency off the referee, you know?
Mm.
You can deal with if he doesn't want you jumping with your arm or whatever for a header, and he's thinking, and you think, he's just going to give that all day now, so I can't do it.
Mm.
But when he gives it sometimes and then doesn't give it, that's where the consistency, I feel,
must be frustrating. Yeah.
It's more job at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah.
20 quid or whatever it is, 25?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's still not. You're still not selling to me.
Boy, Dino Turton's got a couple of questions for you, Al. Firstly, what do you think of Tottenham?
Can I swear on the radio?
Podcast here, isn't it?
You can bleep it out, can't you, Andy? It'll be all right.
Those who don't know, you know, Al is a massive Arsenal fan, so that's a pretty, I think it's a pretty self-explanatory in for saying that, isn't it? Secondly then, are you allowed to travel with Alaman's steam packet again yet?
I was never actually not allowed to travel with Alaman's steam packet, although I was a big instigator. I kind of hid when hit the fan. I'm allowed. I'm right back on there. Well,
it's called good movement off the ball.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And we had one in from Craig. He says, have you ever tripped over Vinnie Dale's feet? Now, again, I presume there's some sort of backstory to this. Is it?
Next time you're down the bowl, look at Vinnie's feet.
Right, okay. Well, you're there on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tweet a picture of it.
Do that. Might not be able to fit it on the
wide angle lens.
I think it's more about his jacket you need to tweet a picture of.
Well, fully enough, you should say that. There's one question which didn't make it onto the sheet for Al, because he didn't want us to give you any warning, but ask Al about Vinnie's coat last Saturday.
Oh, terrific. You look like green grass.
Yeah, the hat to match. I thought he looked well. He phoned me up afterwards because obviously someone or a few people made a comment to him. So he phoned me up basically saying, "Then I'll tell me how to dress." And I kind of was like, "Nah, you look smart, Sam."
He actually got a telling off by the Dooleys. He's not allowed to wear, he's got to wear tracks, like some Mary's tracksuit now.
So we can't.
We've got to get away from that image.
Professional there.
Please, did you have shades on as well? I'm just seeing that.
Like a top hat. I don't know. And then like a bit, it was like a big wax jacket, wasn't it? I bet he was warm though, and that's why I think he was. You look like The Undertaker. That's exactly what I was saying.
That wasn't Dave's jacket. Right, let's have a look at Saturday's fixtures while we've got you in. Starting off, Frank has another biscuit. Let's have a look at the Cadillac Premier League. 2:30 kickoffs. Getting dark last night, lads, wasn't it? Flipping it. Yeah. I know we had a large chunk of injury time.
Steve Whitley was saying at the edge of the box when Kirill went down, he was like, Rev, I think it's too dark, you might as well call off. And I was like, I think over like 80 minutes or something, it's all results, Steve, so it doesn't matter.
But it was, the Karen's, you know, the pasty thing.
Oh, yeah.
Counter.
the Belfast Bays.
That was providing illumination in that one corner. It was that dark last night. So, yeah, he couldn't have played for much longer. But it's 2:30 kickoffs on Saturday. We'll start at the UL game at the Bowl. St Mary's taking on Rushen. Rushen, great result from them last night. We must talk about that. They beat Old Firm Rivals Peel 2-0. Goal in each half from Jack Saxon and Mike Williams.
Both good goals.
Both. We put the YouTube links on our, or Patty's YouTube links on our Twitter and on Facebook today. Mike, have you seen Mike's goal? Oh, a lovely bit of improvisation, trapped down his chest and then sort of acrobatic overhead turn.
Do you think, I've seen Hattie...
goal of the season.
Goal of the season. I was like,
I think that he's just firing that.
I'm sure Hattie.
Yeah. To be fair, Frank, I think he just says that and then people go and look at his clips, don't they?
Yeah.
It's not a bad dip for you.
I think who was in net for him last night, Peter?
A bit of baller, wasn't it?
Was a baller, was it not? So, yeah. I didn't say it, because I seen Jack's. Jack's, obviously, he was a great strike.
Top
but I just think... I don't know, could the keeper do better for that one as well? You know, it looked like he got lob both times.
Well, with Jack's, it was this curling shot from the edge of the area. There was a few people in front of him, wasn't it? And with Mike's, he's done well. I don't know who the centre-half or defender was, but he's held him off, hasn't he?
Strong, isn't he, big lad?
So, but they're two good goals. But Peel, you know, that's going to really hurt them, isn't it?
I think the most impressive thing there is the clean sheet.
Yeah.
I don't think they've conceded a goal yet, Rushen.
Right, yeah, good stats.
The way Hattie's report read was that Rushen restricted Peel. They didn't have their first shot on target until after the hour mark or something, so it was a very good performance by them.
Lee Gale didn't play?
No,
Someone watched it last night, obviously, and I was speaking to him today at work, and they just said, like, they just struggled without him. Peel just struggled without him. I don't know, they've got a lot of good players, though, haven't they? But maybe just without him, they...
Maybe a similar thing to you guys. Maybe it's people bedding in, so, you know, the time to gel. I know they've only brought in maybe 3 or 4 compared to the sort of mass numbers you have, but maybe just taking the time to get used to faulty systems or whatever.
Yeah, Lee went off with he tweaked his Achilles, I think, the other day against Corinthians. Billy Kennett came on and replaced him, so it was a bit of a change of shape. But player who impressed me was Reece Oates. You know, he's fitted in straight away there.
Great player, isn't he?
We played against them in pre-season and took a hammering off them, and Reece Oates was just different gravy.
Yeah,
he's been like Dan Allen's train, though. It's been coming, you know. You've seen him like maybe 12 months ago, and you think he's got something definitely, and he can hopefully. I actually said to him about moving to the next step, you know, to but I just said it'll be interesting. Like he needs to maybe go to that next step, then to get the big kind of game player to see how he deals with them. Because he was actually speaking about getting in the Ireland team and playing. I said, you need to be playing in them big games and getting used to them. And then he's been doing great at Ireland training. And hopefully he doesn't play well against those, but he'll have a good season.
But so going back to the Rushen, though, that obviously CSL says that they kept them to a clean sheet last night. And they'll go into this game. Carrozza will be fired up for this, won't he? You know, it's a... It's old club.
We try to get him back as well.
He'll be gunning for a result. Guys, what you be take a point out of this one, Frank?
I said to Al before the Corinthians game, I said if we get out of these two now this week, Wednesday, Saturday, if we can get out with 4 points, we've done well. But and that was, I think, me edging towards taking 3 off Rushen and 1 off Corinthians. Now we've obviously got out of that Corinthians game with 3, I think we've got to win. If we want to kind of push on and be there and there about and let people talk about title challenges, I think, especially being a home as well, I think we've got to win. But them having that result last night, it just shows that they are... I didn't know how they were setting up, you see, because they've only played one game, haven't they?
Yeah.
I didn't know what they were going to be like. And I spoke to Josh Kelly, and he's obviously out. He's out at the minute, and he was saying they were struggling for numbers and players, and... I just thought Peel might have kind of maybe walked a little bit yesterday, got a good result down there. But then you see that, and it's made us maybe think again. So,
have you got this relatively fully fit squad for Saturday, or how is it all looking after last night?
Yeah, I think we're fully fit, hopefully.
So, and is it made that result last night for them made you reconsider your plans for Saturday, or?
Oh, Liam Doyle's been onto me and telling me to do this. It does put it in my mind, but no, I think he pretty much got. I know what I'm doing already.
Right,
obviously, your footy manager paying off.
Yeah. Right. So obviously, Dave will be that. So follow at Manx Footy Pod now, as it is, for tweets from that game. Douglas High School All Boys take on Laxey up at Blackberry Lane. The game I'm going to. Now I was sort of half an eye on that game last night. All Boys. It was quite close with Douglas Royal until about the last sort of 15 minutes last night. But the man that that sort of drew the headlines. Matty Kent Lloyd, 4 goals for him last night. He started the season on fire, hasn't he, Dave? I think he grabbed a couple already.
He's doing really well. He's only just missed out on Team of the Week this week. Yeah, he's definitely one to watch in this one.
Up against his old club. Now, we talk about Laxey. You played them last week. They lost quite a few players over the summer, yet still John's put out, as you said, a sort of quite resolute side.
I thought they were very good. Honestly, I did. Like I said, they didn't. I don't think they caused us problems until the end when we wobbled. But young lads, John had them set up well and they worked hard and they kept their shape. And I thought when it went to we got to 4-0, I thought, oh, they'll go here and we'll just maybe end up 5 or 6-0. But they didn't, they worked hard and they got one and we kind of wobbled and then we fell apart. But then you see the result that they had last night. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when I seen it, I was like 6-2. I know Douglas Athletic are flying and they're
Wolfie.
Yeah, the Wolf's back, isn't it? But I just thought, to see that 6-2, it surprised me it did. But, yeah, I don't know, it's obviously going to be...
Well, I spoke to Colin, who watched the game last night, and Laxey shaded the first half. It was very close, but second half, Tafka just ran away with it. But, he was impressed with Joe Walters.
Joe Walters last night. He's been, obviously, in the Man FA squad with you this summer, Frank. Looks about 45, but I think he's actually only 18, isn't he?
He's like an orthodox, he's a really good player.
I was talking to Johnny Myers about him last night. He said he's really hard to mark. He's wiry.
Wins headers. He's really, really, really good.
Another one to keep an eye on then, do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, this looks like it could be, I don't know, it's hard to call this one. I think Old Boys might just sneak it. They seem a team in form at the moment. Dave?
I'd agree with that, yeah. I fancy a home win in this, but Laxey will run them hard, I think.
Boys, what do you reckon?
I'd call Old Boys win.
Old Boys, the bagsman, a hat-trick. Mike Kent Lloyd, the bagsman, his nickname is.
The bagsman?
Yeah.
There you go.
I won't ask why. Right, talking of the 100%ers, Douglas Athletic, they take on Corinthians. The Corinthians side probably licking their wounds after last night. Is it important that Corinthians bounce back straight away? Lads,
I think if I was in that camp now, that's a must-win game, especially with the draw against Peel. If they would have beat the Peel and lost to us, then yeah, okay. But I think from their camp, they'd be looking at that as 3 points. But Douglas Athletic have started great, and they're at home, and you know sometimes how hard it is to go down there and get a result. I don't know, it'll...
And we've touched it already, the Wolf is back, Mark Wolfenden, he's back from injury, long-term injury. He scored 4 goals last night, one of 4 players to score 4 goals last night.
Exactly, and if Corinthians are short on centre-backs, then he could have he could have a bit of success on Saturday, so who knows. I wouldn't be surprised if this ended in a draw, you know. Corinthians have got to be favourites, but Dafka, they might just do something in this.
I think that'll be music to Craig purposes. I still think Corinthians will just have enough about them just to see them burst the early Pink's bubble, but fair play to Douglas Athletic, 3 from 3, top of the league. I suppose they'll be gutted we haven't put the league table in yet, because they'd be wanting to cut that out and put it in the scrapbook, wouldn't they? You go. How would you say Corinthians win, or do you think that Dafka could spring a surprise?
I think it's going to be a score draw.
Put that one on the coupon then.
I just think it's going to be a tight game. I know Corinthians struggled down there last time they played them.
Corinthians need to get, he works for me, young Callum Campbell. He's been in the combi, and he's on me every day. And I said I'd give him a mention. So I think that's what they're missing.
He's put a couple of goals already for the
Yeah,
he's
doing
all right.
And I think he was near enough in this week, and then he ended up being in the combi and that. But he said he would have stopped me scoring last night if he would have been in there.
There you go.
That's what he told me this morning anyway.
Peel versus Moran, a sort of derby, we're going to call it, aren't we? Probably aside from St Jones. Yeah, it's just close enough. When do we ever let facts get in the way? Peel, again, another team looking to bounce back after a midweek defeat against Russian. Moran, they opened their account with a defeat by St John's, so they've got head-to-head West in the first two games.
They have, yeah. I mean, I think it was 6-2, 5-2, was it, I think, against St John's. So
a good Manx football scoreline.
Alex Holden was the man in form on that day. But yeah, so this is... It's got to be a Peel win, I think, for me. But Moran will hopefully put in a bit of a spirited performance.
Lads, have you both predicting comfortable home wins?
Yeah, I think it'll be quite... I don't know, I can just see Peel bouncing back again off the result of Corinthians and then Russian. I think that could be quite... I don't know, I think it'll be quite a high-scoring win for Peel.
Al?
Yeah, I think Peel high-scoring.
No hope for Moran. A lot of former Peel players obviously in the Moran set up these days, you know. Always nice to play your old club, isn't it? As Frank found out on the first day.
No.
Right, so the other two games in the Premier League on Saturday, St George's take on Douglas Royal at Glen Country Road. This looks a straightforward home win to me. Royal, to be fair to them, did put up a bit of a fight last night. Their new look front line of Paul Whitley and the fastest bus driver, aside from Milky Quayle in the Isle of Man, Terry O'Gow. I have to say, Geordie's, obviously you and Jack and a few others have left, but they've got some really good young kids there, haven't they? And they can keep them together. The potential is massive.
I spoke to the kids there when a few since I've left, and it's a great opportunity for them because they are very good. The likes of Jay and Joel, Sid.
Well, Sid will be going back to
I rate Sid, he's real, real good. He's got everything about him, you know,
done a podcast as well, ticks all the boxes.
Yeah, yeah. But they're going to get their chance now, and if hopefully they stay with them. And yeah, okay, it's St George's have been flying for years and years and years and won things and won everything basically. But if they can stick with the kids, it's just a bit of a transformation. Mm. They're going to get their chance, where maybe if everyone stayed this year, they might not have got their chance and they might have got left, you know what I mean, even.
And of course, you've still got the likes of Veru and Sam and Joey, and there's a tremendous core there still, isn't there?
Veru got a hat-trick the other day.
Yeah, the Man Mountain, unplayable on his day, isn't he, if he turns up awake.
He is unplayable for him on his day. I agree with you on that.
And I think he'll be, he could make, what do they call it, matchboxes of the, or matchbox Tinder of the Douglas Royal backline if he turns up in the mood, couldn't he?
Exactly.
Any positive notes for Douglas Royal, Alex? Can you see them? Obviously, there's only one relegation spot this season. Have they got a good chance of staying out away from that?
Yeah, I think they'll stay up. I think they limited Peel to only 4 goals, so I think that probably be Fitzy's objective for that game, limit them.
Right, moving on to JCK Division 2. I thought there was 2 games left in Premier League, but of course, Braddon have left the building, haven't they? So there's only 5 this week. In JCK Division 2, 6 games, starting off at, I'm going to say this is probably the top game, Paul Rose United versus Fox,
yeah,
don't
they? Definitely, that's where we're sending Hattie, isn't it? This game will go a long way, hopefully, to deciding who goes up at the end of the season, I think.
Even this early in the season, then?
Yeah, I think so, because, Foxdale lost last night, so, they need to bounce back pretty quickly. Pulley are in good form, with the pre-snals there, they're already firing. I think they put quite a few...
Put 10 past Jim's last night.
So, they're in ruthless.
Who did Foxdale have about last
night? Malou, 3-1. Connor Dowell and Craig Dolman scored for Malou. So. Oh, yeah. Malou have been nearly as active as Alex in the transfer market. Yeah. But Pulley, Foxdale...
Did Foxdale beat them in a friendly in pre-season, didn't he?
Possibly. I think these are the two teams I picked to go up. I thought Foxdale would have the know-how of having been so close in the last couple of seasons. Pulley obviously have got the squad. I saw Mark O'Neill scored for them last night. It was another one of the Braddon refugees, isn't it?
Plenty of goals in this.
It's going to be goals, and I think I'm going to go for an Alex Harrison score draw.
Frank, I'm going to say a draw against. Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be a draw.
I'm going to go for a Paul Rose win. Put a bit of pressure on Steedo.
Dave?
Yeah, Pulley win for me.
Pulley win for you. Probably not what you'd describe as a top of the table clash, but Michael United take on Colby. Two fairly evenly matched sides. I think this should be a close game at Bolero Road. Yeah. Probably going to be windy, isn't it?
I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, they both struggled at the start of the season, so it's very much... a matched kickstart their seasons. Michael have fared quite well. I think they've performed quite well, but Colby have obviously been suffering from there.
I think we should mention Michael's goal scorer last week was Owen Hurt, son of Nick. His first senior goal at the age of 16, and probably a name to watch out for if you're looking at the classified results in the paper next week. Colby, following their tweets last night, they played Onken and lost 5-2, but apparently it was quite an encouraging performance. Obviously, they lost a lot of players over the summer. Hard to call a winner in this one. Frankie, what's your knowledge of Michael United and Colby squads like?
No, nothing at the minute. I'm just going to go for a home win, I reckon, with Michael.
Michael, Alex?
Yeah, Michael, home win.
Draw.
Draw?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with you in the draw, boss, I think.
A couple of draws on the coupon here.
Yeah, I know, Paying out all the £24 next week. It's a rollover. Malou, we talked about Malou briefly before. They got a notable result last night. Well, they beat Foxdale 3-1. Youthy are the visitors to the mighty Clapvane this week. Youthy again, another notable result. They won the derby 2-1 against Ramsey in the week. These two will be going into this full of confidence, but Malou,
I've tipped Malou to finish quite high up. I think they'll challenge for promotion. Youthy, I thought, top four, top five, but that result last night will give them a lot of confidence. They can push on. They've got Ray Leach in charge again, so he knows the squad well. So this could be a close one, but I still think Malou will just about edge it.
Frank, you're nodding in approval there.
I reckon Malou, yeah. Just like had a good result last night, didn't they? You've sent it, but yeah, I don't know. I think Malou got they've brought in a lot of players, haven't they? Alex, coaching everyone.
I think Malou had a man sent off last night. That's the only thing that could potentially derail it. A good tilt at the title, isn't it? Their disciplinary record. How would you...
home win. Who'd you got sent off? Is it?
I'm not 100% sure. That was the...
Was it Craig Dolman?
I don't think it was Dolman, actually. You probably would have got good odds prior to the match, but I don't think it was in this case. Malou potentially just going to edge this one. Probably won't Agent Rashid probably won't want to hear that because obviously he's still on the books in their combi team, I think, isn't he? Air United versus Union Mills. Long slog up to Andreas for the Millers this week. Millers actually had two sent off last night as well, so spate of red cards.
Two red cards this week, hasn't there?
Yeah, I know the old FA coppers will be a swell by the end of this week.
Kieran got sent off from the loop.
There you go. You asked something, Alex, and within a matter of minutes, Dave's Googled it.
Too late.
Union Mills, they had a 4-3 win over Governors Athletic, which seemed like a bit of a seesaw game. Apparently, according to our man in the know, Rag and Bone Sam, he said that it was actually Mills started playing better when they had players sent off.
Yeah, they were down to nine men, so it's a bit of a strange
one.
Air United, though, they ran Douglas and District close, 6-5, another Manx football scoreline.
Great.
I think there'll be obviously a bit of a different prospect at home, but... You favour Mills?
Yeah, this one's going to be close. I mean, I had that good result against Youthy at the weekend, which, to be honest, I thought Youthy were going to win that one, so shows you what I know.
Not a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, no, I think Mills will probably prove just a bit too strong for them.
Lads? Frank? Oh, he's thinking about this one, isn't he?
Home win, I'm going Air.
Mighty Tangerines.
I'll go home win. Harry Weatherall signed for Air. He's had three clubs in pre-season.
And was a manager of one.
He hasn't kicked the ball.
Three clubs he's had. I want to go with Air win.
Well, he's a bell runner extraordinaire now, isn't he? I think that's the...
Walker of Doves.
He's still in the Irish group, actually. Need to kick him out.
Yeah. I said this last week.
There could be a call of that group tonight. I think me and Harry are first on that. Right, and what else we got on Saturday? Ramsey, of course, welcomed Douglas and District to Ballaclone. Ramsey, again, with that famed Ian Dowry expression, bounce back ability. It's easy for me to say. It will be on the tie on their agenda. Obviously, Andy Perry, amazing signing for them. Frank, you obviously speak highly of him, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. I'd go Ramsey win, because with me tipping them for the league, Andy better not let me down.
Al?
Yeah, Ramsey win.
Yeah, Ramsey win for me, but D&D will be on high after that win against Air, so it'll make life difficult for them.
And you noticed there was another withering message from Dave Matheson after none of us tipped D&D to do anything against Governors last week. Yeah, I said a draw, and they won in the end, didn't they?
They did, but I never get predictions.
Anyone won the top league and then went and won the second league the year after?
What do you mean?
Just what Andy's going to do.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. I suppose that's a good question.
Someone wants to know, wasn't he put there? I don't know.
Let's ask Eric.
We'll ask Eric or
next
Dave.
Week.
The next week.
I'll be listening
we'll
next
an
week
for
the answer.
Next week, Frank. I better write that down, otherwise we'll forget.
I'll be tweeting you.
Final game in JCK Division 2 sees Onken welcome Jims to the spiritual home of Stock Car Racing and the stadium. Onken should be fame favourites for this. Conor Dempsey, a man on form. You've got a bit of a stat about Conor, haven't you?
Yeah, he scored 4 goals in each of his last 2 games. So
8-2, not a bad return. Do you have a ring, Al?
He's actually already played a pre-season game for us.
Generally.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Just couldn't get that one over the line, no?
Couldn't get it over the line, no.
What do they call it? The thing
he kept his budget somewhere else. But obviously, Dempsey's got up against one of his former clubs here, so he's fired up for it.
Tony Sewell.
So that's some clubs, hasn't he, Connor?
Yes.
He's no more. Or Andy Glover. Between them, they've had more clubs than Nick Faldo, haven't they? Connor Dempsey, he's managed to form at Onken. I think the Reeses are all back from their family vacation, and Facebook's anything to go by, so it should be a good Onken team against Jims. Jim's, Tony Sewell's plugging away, isn't it? Is he the appealing for players again this week?
Yes, he did message me saying that they've got plenty of players, but they've got a bit too many that are just too content to play combi football. So he wants a few more players that are desperate to play first team, really. So if anyone's interested, get in touch with them on Facebook.
There you go. Right.
Is that poaching?
He's getting Dave to poach for us. He's not daft, is he? So Onk and home win, all four of us.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, the feature that's rocking nation, Combi Corner, Dave.
Well, as you've already alluded to, it's been quite a busy week in Combi, but Russian Old Boys and St Mary's all lead the way in Combi 1. They all maintained their 100% starts of the season. Russian thrashed Braddon last weekend and then edged old firm rivals Peel 1-0 on Tuesday thanks to Aaron Hawley's goal. So obviously it was a double success for Russian this week. Old Boys beat Geordies 4-2 and then proved too strong for Royal 4-1 in the week, which obviously you saw a bit of that one.
Mm-hmm.
St Mary's, obviously you guys, your combi side's in ruthless form. You scored no fewer than 13 goals in the last two games. 7-2 and 6-4 wins against Laxey and Corinthians.
That's nearly as many as Conor Dempsey.
There you go. Carlson Warren and Josh Mullen, you both got hat-tricks in midweek, so they're in good form.
I saw Josh is in on the Back to the 80s show.
Yeah.
I saw him trying to rearrange a club night out for that.
Very talented boy.
Yeah, well, he is if he scores hat-tricks. Yeah. And then Carlson Warren, another one you've hoovered up from Braddon, yeah?
Yeah, brilliant play, quick. Got a half time, scored a hat trick.
What do you think about his beard?
Shocking.
Alex, I must say yours is looking very bountiful at the moment. I'm enjoying that. Are you putting any conditioner on there?
No, I need to get some beard oil.
Oh, it's a fad that. Just a bit of fairy liquid is all you need, son. Right.
It's experience there.
This was the best bit about Combi Corner there's ever been, so carry on, mate.
Right.
In Combi 2, the first team may be struggling, but Colby's Combi are doing well. They've had two wins in a week, and there's no doubt the star of the show, Christian Stereopoulos.
Christian Stereopoulos, former Russian goalkeeper, more concussions than Soft Mick, is now doing some sort of goal-scoring sensation.
Yeah, part-time GJ, part-time striker. He's got two last weekend, and he got two again in midweek against Duncan.
I actually had a message from Stereo this week on that there Facebook. He said that he's actually still going to play hockey this season. He was a top scorer for the Castan's hockey team.
Is there anything he can't do?
So his plan for Saturday is to try and play both.
Oh, God.
So, I don't know, did you fancy
Benjamin Button? He must be getting younger.
And lastly, Jim's continue to lead the way. They've had three wins in three, which is the same as Ramsey, but they're ahead on goal difference. And you've alluded to it before, but the Ramsey derby on Tuesday was slightly dramatic.
Got the budget up in the FA.
Yeah. Ramsey won 5-0, but there were no fewer than four players sent off, and if our Northern correspondent's to believe, there were 17 bookings.
Yeah. He's actually
what
said,
a game.
He actually
who was driving that, Johnny Hunt?
Yeah. He actually said 17 might be a slight exaggeration, so we'll just clarify that. I also have a little bit of breaking news on that. I don't know if it's 100% confirmed, but the rumour is that Ramsey played some eligible players in that game.
Oh, God.
So they were going to lose the 3 points. So.
Possibly never dull, is it?
I say they should replay that match.
Yeah,
because I think
far aside.
Right, Dave, you're the second best feature of the week. Yeah. Dave reads the weather. I'm sure the boys want to know what they need, how many layers they need to put on the weekend.
Oh, just ask Vinny or someone like that.
Is he going to have the wax coat on this week?
I hope so. Yeah, but weather is going to be cloudy, but with occasional showers, but it shouldn't be enough to threaten any games. But if only I had a leather jacket to protect me from the rain.
Oh.
No pressure, Frank. If you don't get it back, Dave's going to cry.
It wasn't just me as well. Quay needs to chip in.
Yeah.
And Liam Doyle had something to do with it.
Is it in America?
Yeah.
Right, before we go, just a quick mention. We've now got Facebook and Instagram pages. I went mental last week on social media. I hope you're following both of them. Alex looks vacantly into.
Am I not?
I don't know.
I am.
Yeah, that's the right.
I've seen your Instagram post of the highlight of the game.
Oh, do you like that?
Penalty scored.
Yeah, that's, to be fair, that's the only one I managed to get on my phone. It's getting very dark as well, isn't it?
It's alright though.
Yeah, very well. So yeah, as Frank alludes, there are occasionally match highlights, but it's mostly just rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was a lovely picture of Peter Lewis the other day. Did you see that? From 1974.
That is Benjamin Watson.
Yeah. He actually looks younger now, doesn't he? He does look in better nick than he did in 1974. Some hairline as well. We talk about hairlines. Peter Lewis is in 1974. He looks like half a Brillo pad. So yeah, give them a follow at Manx40Pod for both of them. Lads, thanks for coming in. Hope you've had it hasn't been too bad. Good luck for the rest of the season. Good luck for Saturday.
Good luck, lads.
I'll hopefully catch up with you at some point. Remember, you can listen to all our back catalogue, which numbers over 60 now, at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football. And we're now on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. They will literally take anyone on them. So basically, we're coming in your ears from all directions, aren't we, Dave?
As per usual.
Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.